Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards, a Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 3 characters. Brayden.
Belleg Dagar, half-elf, hexblade warlock.
Caleb.
I am Kaito Atata. I have an axe. I'm a warforged barbarian.
Brandon.
Ikurok Poonchley.
Blood hunter, half-orc.
Tomo.
I'm playing Steve Tehiman. I am a human ranger.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Okay, so last thing I remember is we reached the Sailor's Choice. There was a mad dice game going on. I believe Belleg unbelievably lucked out and raked in a fuck ton of money.
I
came up on a bunch of hooded individuals and I asked them about Oumuamua. Instantly, they all left the table from me saying this name. And as the night progressed, there was another table of hooded individuals who happened to have been watching. And as they got up to leave, I instinctually threw all my neutral caution to the wind and ran after them. And we were checked by a couple of bouncers. And I may have acted hastily and pulled out of the small of my back a axe that I happened to have had that wasn't checked, and gave him a little slash because I was not having any of it, and slashed this bodyguard in the face and brushed past them. Steve bolted up ahead of me. I darted after him and left Belleg and Rook, my companions, to deal with the fodder.
You didn't brush past and they grabbed you, you little jerk, and then I fucking punched him.
I was giving a rough summary. Like,
if
I said,
call that a brush pass, all right.
In my blind rage, I may have missed the finer details, but I was on a mission, and that's all I can remember is just getting up these stairs, chasing hooded individuals.
On a mission from God.
Yeah.
So far from what I could tell there was people up there. I think that was the thing. I just couldn't tell exactly where they were. The people we were following up since kind of disappeared. And then there's that door at the end of the hallway.
I believe the cloaked men ran towards the end of the hallway, but there was a bunch of like brothel-like rooms to left and the right. Did I miss anything?
Sounds pretty good. We ended when I told the waitress that we got this shit. We'll handle it ourselves. Don't call the cops.
We got this shit.
Episode 16, A Smooth Move.
And she looks back at you, still mouth agape. Can you roll a charisma?
Yes, I can. Would be a 20.
A non-natural 20?
Oh, 17 plus 3. Non-natty.
Nice roll.
Thank you. Unless it's intimidation, in which it's plus 5. But I think, you just asked for charisma.
Charisma.
Well, the constable, they'll have shut us down for good. What do you propose?
Money?
No, he doesn't have enough.
Yeah. No, definitely not. I propose you give us 20 minutes. Then we can decide how to act further.
Surely, all of the people who fled a moment ago from this scene, they will have already alerted the constabulary.
Plague.
You, Plague. You with the chiseled jaw, help me. We have to go put out in the street an open sign again.
Contamination. Okay. Put an X on the door. Yeah. There's a possible plague. Sickness. Yeah, everyone run. Sickness. Sickness.
Leprosy. There's leprosy in the pottage. Yeah,
exactly.
Nah, man, I'll play along. I'll put it out there. I'm gonna dip the side in some of that dwarf puke first, though. Just to deter people.
You are using your last bit of your sort of what I'm calling the interaction of the tail end of your move, Beleg, where we left off at the end of the last episode, to move towards Braza, and you're going to suggest that you take a little bit of dwarf puke, who's passed out at table number two there, and throw it on the sign as a dissuasion.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, he's still there, eh? Okay, I want to move his body to block the door so we can be open, but there's a drunk passed out guy in front of him.
Okay.
Good move.
So, Beleg, you're going to move in that direction, and we're going to carry out that portion of your plan, and Braza does seem to be moving along with you in a frightful hurry. I mean, she looks like she has got a fire lit under her now that you've convinced her of your ability to keep this situation under control. And to the top of the order, Kaitoa. You now see the scene of the second floor of Sailor's Choice. It is a long hallway with purple curtains the whole way, and you appear to see Steve. Can you make a stealth check?
Sure.
Steve, make the stealth check?
Yep.
Yeah.
That is a 15.
You appear to see a curtain moving up about 10 feet to your right, but you cannot tell is it friend or foe. Make an insight check, Kaitoa.
10.
You're not sure if it's your little buddy Steve. He did just run up here.
Yep. Okay, I go right up to the curtain, throw the curtain open.
It's Steve! You have just happened upon your little buddy Steve, who was carefully and stealthily about maybe like three curtained booths in to this two-aisle area.
Can I hiss at Steve and go right to the end of the hallway?
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, I definitely think I like... I'm frustrated that I saw Steve and keep going down the hallway and I hit a door.
Perfect.
Yes.
So, Kaitoa, as you happen upon... Steve, I love your little hi. I hope everybody caught
that. Yeah. Hi. It's fucking Steve. Like, and then I just like throw the curtain down and keep going down the hallway.
Show me again where you burst to.
I just go to this corner.
Okay.
Right here. I have no night vision or dark vision, so I'm just feeling around, axe in one hand, hand in the other, like a blind man.
So there's candles up here. So
okay.
Limited vision. It's dim.
I still can't see shit.
We need to put a candle on top of your head.
Yeah, I know. But I can't see anything. I'm just here. Trying to get it as fast and far as possible. That's all I'm going for.
Rook, you are up. And in fact, I kind of lost track whether you rolled a 16 or whether the other half-orc bouncers rolled a 17, but I like it because I don't know. And you're all just a mess. There are three half-orcs in this little alcove, two half-orc guards, and Rook. Starting to, I guess, recover from the last move that Caleb so accurately described as him just producing an axe, whipping it up in this guy's face.
So accurately.
You had a big push against this bouncer, the bearded bouncer who spoke on the right. Rook?
Yeah.
It's your move.
But I'm engaged with him, right? Like, so I got to clean up Kaitoa's fucking mess over here, right? So
yeah, you do.
Oh, fuck so, it. Like, did you just draw?
Well, yeah, I had to. I was engaged.
Play the fight riff.
And Beleg's behind me, right? So I'm kind of engaged with both these fuckers.
So Rook, you're on your own, buddy.
I know I am. Shit. Can I tell how much, like, are they wearing armor? What can I tell about these two bastards here?
So both of these guys are dressed in sort of a dark gray top and bottom with very light armor.
Dude, they're
and
bouncers.
The guy
they're going to be
the
wearing
right
leather.
That you punched has not produced a weapon of any sort, but the one on the left who was struck did produce a short, curved scimitar.
So the guy on the left he's been hit already by Kaitoa, though, right?
Correct.
And the guy on the right's got no sword. Well, fuck, I'm kind of in it now, so I'm going to go after the buddy on the left. Yeah, can't not. I'm engaged. Kaitoa hit me in the desk.
Yeah, I can't tell you what to do from here, but
I got your back, buddy.
Okay, can you roll to hit?
I think on this one here, I haven't really used my Crimson Rite, but I'm taking two guys on kind of solo, so I need my hit points.
They're just like club thugs.
Beleg yells, just don't kill them.
Well, that's fun.
And that's the thing about, like, I slashed one in the face. We might be able to intimidate them because we got the jump on them.
That's
guys are already
after I figured the door
we
out.
We can totally intimidate these guys. You might be able to muscle them down and be like, you're already fucked. Guys have already gone past and we're about to kill you.
No, I'm going to kill this guy.
Yeah, but you do love your carnage. So yes,
roll,
as your character,
for, to hit Brandon.
Should be killing them. But yes, Beleg is, you're right. We should be like talking our way through intimidating them.
So I would use my I'd use my proficiency bonus on this, would it not?
Correct. So you get you roll a d20 plus 5.
Yeah, so that'd be a 16.
And then because you're dual wielding, I think if the first one hits, you roll again. And the first hit hits, so roll another d20 plus 5.
So since I'm dual wielding, I get to roll.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah. Twice.
No, you're not. Yeah. I only let you conceal one of those fucking short swords.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's a one. Bastard.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, DM.
Forget that. You with your one sword, lonely sword.
I'm so
take
sad.
A well-placed hit on the orc to the left. And can you roll damage?
Yeah, so my damage
and I have
will
now
be...
cracked the cutthroat West Coast Ale.
Yeah.
So this, because it's a short sword, it's a 1d6 plus 4 because I'm proficient in the, well, I guess melee attacks. So let me see here. 1d6. Oh, that's a 9.
Ouch.
Oh, the DM honesty of ouch.
Yeah, Kaitoa, you've already sapped like 8 off of this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Rook.
Can you decide how you carefully deal this blow?
Well, not so carefully. I'm going
to... He didn't say he wanted to kill him.
I'm going to Superman, almost like a Superman punch, but with like a short sword. So I'm going to jump up and thrust my sword straight in the guy's face.
Damn.
Savage. Right in the wound that Kaitoa put, too.
Yep. Yeah, that's where I'm going. Ooh. I go for the weakness.
I open the he's the Poon Slayer.
Like, Poon Slayer.
His right ear and a whole patch of skin on the side of his face and skull has been shorn right off. And he screams very horrifying and terrible scream, a bone-chilling scream. And you deal your 9 damage. What else you got?
So I guess for me, I'm going to, after that... back away and kind of ready myself for either one, I guess, to try to come at me.
Their turn is up. the orc on the left, who has lost half of his scalp on the side of his face. 4.
What's that?
Oh, he is going to flee. The half orc on the right.
Coward.
Flees.
I've not paid enough for this.
Towards the rowboat shaped bar. And
oh, dog. Orc, I dare you to come at me.
The half orc on the right, bearded, is going to exit from the small enclave booth leading upstairs to the second floor and slowly but surely take out a whistle.
Oh.
Oh, fuck.
So we're saying that, Beleg, you are actually up now.
Fuck.
All right,
you indicated that you were sort of going to concoct a front door masquerade. Do tell.
Yeah. First order of business has changed.
Yeah. Great sword, that motherfucker.
Yeah. Whistleblower.
Yeah, whistleblower. I'm gonna try and engage with him first. Like, point my greatsword at him and say, put that fucking whistle down. And the one by Rook has the whistle out, right?
Correct. They're all within 30 feet.
All right, so what I'm going to do, and you can make me roll on this, but I want to climb. I want to climb over the bar and head this guy's way and knock this stool over while I go to block his path out.
Roll the athletics.
That's a nat 20.
Ooh.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Describe how in over a cheaply conceived but well-made rowboat-shaped bar, you just cover the distance.
So I plant one foot on this stool right here, and I push off, knocking it over. Quickly plant on this stool, launch off, and land right in front of this guy with two hands holding my greatsword right towards him, and I say, put that fucking whistle down.
Also grabbed a bottle of Alizé.
Beleg Dagar, can you roll an intimidation check? Is that based on charisma?
Yeah, and I'm proficient, so that's a 22. I just rolled a 17. Oh, buddy, this is a smooth move.
Brazza, what should I do?
And this half-orc puts his whistle down and looks across the room at Brazza, who is now looking at you, Beleg, for some sort of clarification. What do you want to do? She seems to be indicating with the shrug.
We just want to look upstairs right now. Fuck. What the hell are you guys guarding anyways? Also, I apologize for our robot.
Friends and adventurers, welcome to The Break. Today we are honored to be chatting with Green Leaf Geek. Green Leaf Geek, what is your business? What is your passion?
My real main portion of my business and my passion is really the making of dice. I cast in resin, and every step is completely done by hand with lots of time and love. So I cast, I trim, I sand, I paint, and I clear coat. All by hand. Takes a lot of time.
And what makes your dice unique?
I make them specific to exactly what my customer wants. So if you commission a set of dice from me, you are getting exactly what you ask for. So if you have, my favorite is doing PC-inspired dice. So if you have a PC that you think really deserves their own set of dice, if you give me, especially if I have artwork, that's great. But if you just give me some, you know, details of that character and the kind of aesthetic you have in mind, I can create something specifically for that character, and I just love doing that, and the way people react is really great.
And what is the best way to find you and view your products?
My website is greenleafgeek.com.
That's greenleafgeek.com.
You got it.
Thank you, Greenleaf Geek, for joining us today to answer some questions about your dice.
Thank you so much.
And on that note, we are having a Q&A and dice giveaway. We are partnering with none other than Greenleaf Geek to give away not one, but two sets of gorgeous dice.
I would love that.
One is black with gold inlaid letters. The other is red with white inlaid letters.
Love it.
This contest will run February 27th till March 27th, the day when we air the final episode, episode 19 of our D&D Real Play podcast. You can submit your questions in two ways. The first method, tag D&D Blackguards on Twitter using the hashtag BlackguardsQ&A and ask your question. That'll earn you one entry to a maximum of five entries. Ask us five questions, earn five entries. You can also email your questions to dungeonsandblackguards@gmail.com. That's dungeonsandblackguards, all one word, @gmail.com. Finally, are questions not your thing? You can leave us an iTunes or podcast review. Just take a screenshot and submit it in the same way to the contest. Tag D&D Blackguards or email us, and you will have earned five entries into the dice giveaway. Reviews and questions not your thing? Pick up a pencil and pen and give us some fan art. That's right. Anything from the Dungeons and Blackguards campaign, send us that fan art. That will earn you five extra entries. Contest ends Wednesday, March 27th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Winner drawn Friday, April 5th, 2019. Get your questions in now. Ask us anything. And now we return to Dungeons and Blackguards.
We just want to look upstairs right now. Fuck. What the hell are you guys guarding anyways? Also, I apologize for our robot.
What are we guarding? Nothing, nothing but...
Yeah, the blame the robot.
The constabulatory of Chinzaju. They will not stand for this, you know, in Centertown. They don't like Sailor's Choice, you know. We really have to move quickly if you want to take this down a notch, eh? Like my half-orc friend, Vinny, said there. Vinny, put away your whistle. Put it away.
All right, Frazza. Is we're going to get these two half-orcs sitting down. We're going to throw one of their... throw that scimitar in the dwarf's hand who's passed out drunk. Blame the whole battle on that dwarf. He's the one who cut your ear off. We're going to go upstairs and investigate, and we'll be out of here like nothing ever happened.
We have to go erase the exotic special from the sign.
Oh, the exotic special. Oh.
Quickly, quickly, help me.
Well, if you're on board, let's do it.
Come. Vilba.
From the back, you see Vilba and the other couple of barmaids who had totally disappeared once this place erupted into violence and vomit. And the whole place cleared out. And Vilba comes up front with a wet cloth. And now, Beleg, you are rushing to the front. And you see both of them quickly move the sign from inside of the Sailor's Choice, the little alcove where the hostess will meet you, to the outside, into the street of the main street of Chinzaju here. And sure enough, they're rubbing off the fourth item on the menu and coming back in towards you.
It's a good plan. It's a good plan. We have to get everybody upstairs. And, poor Garl, what will we do? He looks like a piece of meat. Look at his face.
Bella glares at Rook.
Rook just laughs.
Looks like there's a new meat on the menu.
And Beleg, you would still have, I mean, you could cast something, you can do anything in your turn. You've definitely used an interaction and a movement.
Yeah. I throw on my burlap tunic and say, bandage up your face. Let's go upstairs.
Cold.
Steve, let's go upstairs. You are a stealthy lad, and at the moment you have just been sort of tapped on the shoulder by lumbering Kaitoa. What do you do?
All right, so he's run by me. I imagine, if anything, he's taken all the attention. If there's anyone up here, I'm going to quickly and quietly follow up through these. What are these curtains made out of?
These curtains are a heavy, velveteen purple material.
Yeah. Okay. I guess he's broken.
I ruined it.
Any kind of stealth that I have, so I'm just going to. Is it easy enough for my to slip a dagger through this cloth, or is it too heavy?
Oh, certainly. Yes. And I guess it's been approximately, Kaitoa is 6 seconds, 4 more rounds. Yeah, I guess it's been about 24 seconds. During the time, Steve, that your metal companion charged forward, you hear a real commotion from those two booths that you, Steve, sensed might be those ones near the end of the floor that maybe contained people, and now you begin to hear a startled voice or two ahead of you. You can't tell quite. And maybe roll whatever you'd like that would apply in this situation. Insight, perception, investigation.
Perception is probably my best. So I'll
go for that.
That is not awesome. That's a 10.
Steve, you feel like on the side that you're already on.
Yeah.
Has a voice or two. One male, one female. Nobody could miss this.
Oh, what was that?
I don't know.
Judging from the people that we followed up here, I assume that's they're both male. The characters that we followed.
All we saw were noses.
So, yeah. Steve, can you roll to remember?
I guess it depends. It depends on what I'm trying to remember. But in this case, history makes sense.
Yeah. In this case, it's actual factual. Who was where?
Yeah.
Which is
just an intelligence check for me.
From when it happened to 40 years, it's still going to be remembering what happened.
Yeah.
It's a history
and
check.
Steve, you're just flat on intelligence, right? 10?
Yep. It's just a regular roll. Yeah. What? Oh. That was a weird roll.
Oh.
That was a 1.
What did that bounce off of? Yeah. No.
Nope. Doobie-doo.
What do you do with your move?
Fuck.
I'm gonna follow the robot since he's making all the noise. I'm gonna follow Kaitoa.
Like follow Kaitoa down the aisle without disturbing any more of these booths?
Yeah, if I can't figure out who's in there, then I'll just see if we run by them, we run by them. I'm following the robot.
So I say I see him creep up behind me and I say like,
if those guys we're looking for aren't in those booths, we have both exits blocked. They would be trapped. They're not here anymore.
What?
They might be good for looting, but those guys can clean it up. We gotta keep moving if we're gonna chase. If not, we gotta like stop right now.
Sure.
And just admit defeat.
Yeah, I can't remember who they were or what they look like.
Yeah,
I'm just.
They're guys in cloaks. I think they're gone out of the building.
Yo, they were wearing cloaks? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, whatever. This is fun. Let's run.
Way to play the role, Tomo. Way to play the role.
Steve, is there anything else in your action?
Nope. Nope, I'm good.
So, Kaitoa, the beginning of your turn involves you saying those exact words to Steve. That's your interaction. Yeah. And as you speak, you definitely now hear the subsequent noises from beside you and around you in the booths.
Let's, like, fall back and search each booth. Now that we have both, like, let's wait here till we see Belleg and Rook come up the stairs, but we have this exit blocked.
Thanks for the faith that we're able to take care of the two guys down there.
Yeah, but still, I don't want anyone to escape from here on in. I don't want to, like, leave you guys too far behind and keep chasing someone and leave you there. So we're stopping here by an exit so that we can now, like, slowly go back.
Also, as a player, I don't want to have the situation where Steve comes down to find that you butchered somebody for no real reason either.
Hey, dog. I stopped the butchering.
Yeah, I'll come back down when you guys have finished setting the death scene, like the murder scene that you guys have figured out. Oh, the dwarf did it. Alright, the dwarf was a bad guy. If I can reward Steve the avoidance of finding out that you guys are some fucking murderers, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Rook is gonna Steve, take the opportunity to kill people when he can. So, yeah. You present Steve, the opportunity, he takes it.
I don't want to leave my party. I don't want to keep chasing these guys. I'm going to back to the corner of the first stall.
Yeah, how many stalls are there? There's
10.
10?
Yeah, I would say I'd move back from the stairs. Not the first stall, not the second stall.
Kaitoa, as you try and move back from the deep penetration into the second floor that you've already done, you hear a male and a female voice get into quite the argument.
Enough!
Tangermaid!
You've had enough, Egan. You're out of coin. Enough.
Tangermaid!
And you see a woman in
Steve's gonna see boobs for the first time.
Yes!
Run across from the left side of your field of view to the right side. You see both curtains fly open, and it looks like a male human with less than the lower equator of robes on. As to your left, the velveteen curtains now close, and to the right, the velveteen curtains also close, and you see the tail end of a young lady in a pink dress. Back to the scene downstairs. The half orc is up.
Well, I guess first I'm gonna look back and at Belleg and kind of shrug to him like, man, you knew I was going to go for it.
Man. Sorry, buddy.
I had to try to kill him.
We're not going to do much else in this city if you did kill him.
But then kind of gave him the nod of like, you know, thanks for helping clean the scene up. And then I'm going to head up the stairs towards Kaitoa and Steve and see what the hell they're up to.
Rook, as you move towards the stairway, you see the hostess who first greeted you run out towards the half-orc who has been mostly defaced by your concealed
defaced
short sword, and she is bringing some bandages from the kitchen.
Oh, no, Garl, you can't use a soiled burlap rag to dress a wound like that.
And Belleg, she casts aside the bit of burlap that you offered.
My face!
The bearded half-orc as well moves over and begins to help to tend to this horrific wound.
My face!
Rook,
Yeah.
You can make it most of the way up the stairs. So do you want to be on the second floor?
Yeah, and I'm going to, as I'm doing it, I guess, reconceal my weapon.
You shoot your weapon back inside. Like, so you have to essentially draw this thing from, you know, around your neck because you have it shoved down your scale mail. So yeah. you gingerly put it back down against your chest. You march up the stairs, and there's Kaitoa. He is about, you know, 10 feet in front of you, steaming just a little.
What the heck you been up to, man?
We saw naked ladies.
We saw naked ladies.
Really? Where?
You mean they got away?
Naked ladies got away?
No.
Oh, no. No, they're hiding.
Who got away?
The man who knew about Oumuamua.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that, but don't worry about downstairs. We took care of it.
These rooms haven't been searched yet.
Okay. Well, let's start making our way through, and if anything pops up, we'll handle it. The Rook way.
The Rook way.
Holy shit. You take the left, I'll take the right.
And I say to him, no killing.
I look what? At him like...
No killing.
Yeah. I kind of give him a look like...
Why would he be killing anybody?
I look at Kaito and say, like, kind of look like, yeah, maybe.
I just chalk it up, this whole situation, to a robot malfunction.
As both of you separate the curtains to the left and the right, they are empty save for the large cushions on the floor and the candles that sort of light the way at the edge of each. The situation now seems to be very quiet on the second floor, save for a whimpering.
Tadrame!
And what sounds like maybe the jingling of a metal object directly to in front of you, Rook.
Okay, can I do a maybe perception or investigation? Yeah,
let's roll something.
I guess for this it would be perception, okay. I guess. So I'll do a perception check on it. 10.
There's, you know, this one voice, this one male voice that you've heard. And other than that, it's empty up here.
Okay. So I'm going to then I'm going to turn to Kaitoa and Steve and say, there's nothing up here for us, guys. If they're gone and we've lost them, whoever we were chasing, or whoever you guys were chasing, then I don't think we're going to find anything else up here in regards to that. So I'm going to head back down and get myself another pint.
Embrace the drinking. I love it. He's like, well, killing's done. I don't need to, like, I'm not Law and Order. I'm just, like, here to kill people. I'm done.
Beleg, you now see a bandaged, half facially bandaged half orc being tended to by the little hostess gnome lady. And over him is the larger bearded half orc bouncer. Yeah, you have within your view none of your companions.
All right. It's safe to say that we're out of combat, right?
Yeah, you're now out of initiative. Steve will now have one more sort of combat role, but you have successfully now dropped the temperature in the room. What do you do with that glistening greatsword?
Can I make it just disappear? I think I can just send it to the planar realm.
Yeah, it's up to you. I just love that you're holding the sword, but somehow, yes, you're out of an immediate threatening role. None of the people in your immediate view are taking like a combative role against you.
Yeah. Let me just double check the. I'm pretty sure. Or, it disappears if I dismiss the weapon. Okay. So I do, like, I do a Star Wars-style weapon into my, like, this greatsword just disappears into my hand.
Nice. It retracts back.
Yeah. All right. So, sorry about that, guys.
Well, look, there's a drunken dwarf. He's draped over the sign in the front. And we have no patrons here. I don't think this is going to work. The constable, I do not despise her. I do not wish her to die in a terrible way. I love her. I love her. Yes. But she will not be fooled by this ruse.
Well, then I guess we should leave.
This ruse, a drunken dwarf at the door, is not enough. Vinny, Gar, bring him up here. Bring him up here. Let's prop this dwarf up. You know we've done this one time before.
Can Steve still check the door?
The door upstairs, Steve, on the second floor, the door above the stairs, there, seems immediately, Steve, to lead to the open night and the top of Sailor's Choice, which is indeed only a two-story building.
Okay. Do I see anything from that vantage point?
Oh, you see quite a lot. You see quite a lot.
Okay.
Beleg, you're now being involved in a situation where the two half-orcs are limping up to the table with the dwarf, where the dwarf used to be passed out with all the vomit and the spilled pottage and beer. And they're making to be a passed-out crew at that table.
Okay, so I just want to double-check with you guys that you're never going to speak of us, and I flash the 10 gold that I won in the dice game.
I just want to get through the next 5 minutes.
Me too. So here, take
look,
this
mate, along. I don't know where you're from, and I don't like your demeanor. Just don't fuck this up.
What a fucking twat. I'm trying to help.
And this bearded half orc is holding the side of his colleague's face that has now bled right through the rudimentary bandage. I mean, there is just so much bleeding going on.
Well, at this point, I feel like I've done as much as I can to defuse the situation down there. And I want to head upstairs to my friend.
So HR
training only takes me this far.
You guys rejoin Beleg and Kaitoa and Rook. You all rejoin approximately at the bottom of the hallway stairway that leads up. And Steve, you have now prowled around and checked out the top of the Sailor's Choice. And it's a flat-top building. You see all of Chintadu from north to south. In the north is Centertown, a vibrant, cacophonous, and boisterous, voice-filled air to that direction. To the south, the docks, the market, shutting down, quiet except for the torches that line the boardwalk that led you here. Sailor's Choice.
All right, man. Fuck, I really wanted to be able to talk to or ask those guys about the hooded figures, but bodyguards got sassy.
Yeah, it turned into they bolted. We got left there. We just got to move on. Get the fuck out of here. We're not gonna catch them. They're gone. Unless you guys want to toss that room, but I'm pretty sure we're not gonna find anything. We might find a clue, but the chance of like police or anything catching up with us, we need just to get the fuck out of here.
in character, what the fuck is Oumuamua?
It's a dagger.
Why do you want it so bad?
Because I was given that job.
You're given that job.
Yep. I I met up with a tribe on my travels, and that was my task, was to retrieve this dagger. And so that's my main objective. These guys know about it. I feel like I'm on the right path.
And do they know about it? That's my
primary objective.
Do you know that Shintadu is involved?
The guys at the table, as soon as I mentioned it, they ghosted, and I have a reason to follow them. I feel like I'm on the right path.
All right. What did you notice about those guys that made you think that they knew about it?
While you guys were gambling, I was inquiring about them, and I raised the question of, like, do you guys know any traders as far as weapons? And as soon as I mentioned the name Oumuamua, they got up and left.
They said some wild shit too.
Oh,
what fell from the sky may hold secrets. Oh, this is, I'm not.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is like I haven't listened to the last episode, but yes, I remember. Just
what was
like,
that, Tama?
What fell from the sky may hold secrets.
That's my primary objective. That's what I'm going for.
Yes, I think you guys had a conversation with them outside when Brooke and I were playing the dice game, right?
Yes. Sidebar. Yep.
Yeah. So what happened was there was the one group that we sat down with, and then when shit went sideways and the dwarf threw up all over himself, everyone headed outside, and then a second group of cloaked figures went upstairs, and that's where Steve was just intent on checking that shit out.
Too bad you don't remember anything about them, Steve.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't even... Were they cloaked? Were they not cloaked? Who the fuck knows? I rolled a one. All right. What were we doing down there?
But, so, Kaitoa, we don't have any leads, then.
No. Not at all.
All right.
That's what I was chasing down. I need to know anything to do with daggers and weapons I'm running after. And in that pub, I asked about it, and the moment I mentioned, everything was fine until I mentioned the name of the dagger.
Wow.
And then they all just like ghosted. And then there was a table of another group who seemed affiliated with the intent of like the original group that I like interacted with. Those are the guys we were chasing after, as far as I remember.
Beleg and Kaitoa, who are having this exchange of information in the alcove, and Rook, as you look on, and Steve will be probably bounding down the stairs any moment, I think you have found yourself on the bottom floor here in a moment still of urgency. And Braza and Vilba and the two other bar folk are hurriedly running around and putting new plates of food and new drinks out, and they're spreading them evenly across the table. Steve, you're still upstairs on the roof, and as you come down the staircase to the second floor, you now see a male human pulling his breeches up from the booth at the right, stumbling and bleary-eyed. He wears a green hat with a leather band and is otherwise unremarkably dressed.
Like stumbling drunk?
He does not appear to be too inebriated.
But he was coming. He's coming out of this one of these little...
What is going on downstairs?
Dice game.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, man, I'll throw some dice. I got a little bit of coin. What's your name?
Oh, it's Dave.
Hey, Dave. Let's get out of here, man. I'm done up here.
I guess this is a bit of a party spot up here.
Yeah, I'd call it. Yeah, it's a party spot, kid.
Sweet.
Let's get out of here.
I'd like to be blocking the downstairs entrance.
Sure, I'm going to give a little skip though, and slide under this guy's arm, and get up to the stairs and give a sharp whistle.
Can everybody make a perception check?
No.
Except for Steve.
Nope. Well,
I can't do it well.
Neither can
I. But I did 10. Roll a 3.
I got a 9.
Rook?
10.
Rook hears a whistle.
I'm going to kind of look back up the stairs and see if I can see Steve, kind of familiar with his voice, and I'm pretty sure that's him.
It is your little buddy Steve beckoning you to convey a quick message.
Hey, we got a new friend!
Who is this new friend?
Agen! Nice Agen to meet you guys.
Bring him down.
Where's the party?
Do you like stout?
I'm a cider man. Keeps you awake. Wake for the ladies.
Well, I was just going to grab myself another pint of stout if you want to join me at the
woods.
You
were just going to grab your nut?
Another stout.
Oh, sorry. I misheard you, man. Up there, you get all kinds of ideas. I'll follow you down, guys. It's holy shit. It's empty in here.
There's a bunch of dead bodies everywhere.
There are no dead bodies.
What the fuck?
You were making too much noise up there while you were having fun. Everybody ran out of here.
Where's Vinny and Garl? Oh, what the fuck?
Too, sorry. You're making too much noise. Nobody could take it.
Agen runs to the front of the establishment and starts making to sit down at the table with Garl and Vinny, and seems to, you know, have a bit of a moment where he looks back and forth between the door and you guys and stands up from the booth and starts to run.
Yeah, Rook's not liking this. He's getting ready to go.
This is Steve's first view of the room. Holy shit!
Rook's not liking this. He's ready to kill this new Agen guy here.
Well, go chase after him, Rook.
How far away is this bastard?
You're all within range of the fleeing human with the green hat. He's just running down the aisle, beside the table with passed out dwarf remnants. And he's got a bit of a jump on you guys, but he's within range of all of you.
Okay, well, Rook's going to run after him and I guess notices the looks of his, you know, newfound friends and their displeasure of him wanting to kill this guy. So he's going to grab him, turn him around and say to him, "You will not leave this establishment. I will kill you if you do."
Roll an intimidation check.
Oh, son of a bitch. I've got good intimidation, but this is not going to help. 7.
Fuck.
So, although you... can you roll an athletics check?
I can, yep.
Oh, why? That one's way better. Not just about when you shout in their face. Did you catch it?
Oh yeah, my athletics is good, and I rolled that bad boy pretty good. So that would be a 20.
So you run up and fucking stomp this guy. Ow. But you shout in his face a sort of stuttering, poorly constructed, I'm going to kill you. And although he's not intimidated, he is totally overtaken. Ow, ow, ow. Let go of me. Get off me. I just came here for a little bit of Tadrume. I don't know where she is. Get off me. Let go of me. Come on.
You're not going anywhere.
I'll have a cider. What the fuck? Vinny, Garl, what the fuck is going on? And he starts crawling back towards table number 2. Brazza says,
What are you guys doing? More brawling, more stomping. Next thing you're going to be projectile vomiting all over the front door. I thought we had to settle down. We have to have everybody in the building. Vilba, hey, Vilba, come on up here. Zebel, Kanara.
And all of the characters who you've met, the barmaids come up.
What did you guys do down here?
I didn't do anything.
Cleaned up Kaitoa's mess.
Love how it goes there. Yeah.
It looks like there's an even bigger mess here to deal with.
No, you guys could have not been a part of it. I could have slashed one bodyguard. They could have followed me. You guys decided to engage. You can't blame that all on me.
It is bullshit.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Kaitoa.
No, you could have
sliced them after I got you free. Then you sliced them.
It would have been fine, but
my face is in both my palms right now.
Okay, here's what we do: get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Good call, Steve.
That money you made, leave it on the table. It's not ours anyway. Let's get the hell out of here.
We need to pay someone off and get out.
I already did that. That money's already on the table.
Excellent. We're very sorry. We're going to leave now.
Yeah. As you discuss
the back door.
What is... Oh, man. What's everybody's passive perception?
12.
14?
So who had the highest there?
Steve.
Steve. You see a vanguard of 7 half orc, seems like guards, city guards. In a town this small, it's surprising to see this sort of weaponry and discipline. Which one of you fuckers has a soldier background?
I do.
You both do.
Yep.
Is the front door to the sailor's choice open or closed? Where's this Pasto dwarf?
Paso Dwarf is back at the table with
It's so hard for us to tell you close the door.
No.
It's like people have been running out of it the whole time. Who ran?
No, we put him back in the booth when I was suggesting to make it look like he attacked the bodyguards.
Okay.
Sorry, I mean bouncers.
So the front...
Guys.
Go on.
Time to go.
I say back door.
Yeah, it's clear. I want to run out.
Let's go.
I want more. Yeah, there's more Steve. To do in this town.
Steve's going up the stairs.
Yeah.
Can everybody make a stealth check? A stealth check.
12.
11.
19.
13.
Okay, so help a brother out. I heard only one person roll over my DC. Who rolled over a 14?
I rolled a 19.
Rook
yeah,
did.
Only Rook.
Yeah, I did not.
That's what I heard. Oh, God. No. Three of you hear a voice.
Declare yourselves to the Constable of Chintadu.
Comes a booming voice from directly outside the front door.
Oh, fuck.
And Rook, you have made your way up into the stairway that leads to the second floor.
Okay.
You three see 5 half-orcs stride up to you. And just behind them, several more. Rook, what you up to?
So I'm at that bottom stair there. Well, I guess I'm gonna hang here stealthily and wait to see what happens with the guys and if I need to, with the rest of the group and if I need to jump in and help them out.
Oh, fuck. Belig runs for it.
Okay. I'm already up the stairs.
Belig runs up the stairs.
Yep. Okay, so the three of you were totally seen. And yep. As the five first armored half-orc guards stride into the room, you see behind them, you know, another approximately 10 half-orcs outside the Sailor's Choice. Rook, you're dashing up the stairs, but you three hear a voice.
Halt! Declare your names to the constable of Chintadu. Now, or die.
Yeah, no, I just run. I run up the stairs.
My men are all around the building. We have a barracks of 200 on Chintadu. How dare you take a place like this and turn it into a slaughterhouse? You will not escape. Let me introduce myself. I am Gorvas, the constable of Chintadu. Now, I say again, state your names or die! And she holds a gigantic halberd with the blade that looks like it's 15 inches long on one side and 20 on the other, and points it directly at you, Beleg, who seem to be dashing up the stairs.
Who's got persuasion?
Yep.
See if we can pay it off.
I'm the charisma guy.
Yep.
Do you know Gurm?
Hey, do you know Gurm? I love how casually you threw that out. Just like, oh hey. You know, Gert.
That's the best I can think of.
Well, that, friends and adventurers, is where we will leave you until the next time on Dungeons and Blaggers.
Yeah, he's my boy.
Oh no, we've associated Gurm with our with this murder. Great.